Thank you for joining us at the Sister Light International Assembly. We're a church committed to raising lights and maximizing lives. This is a special ministration by Pastor Lan and Jiwala. It is our prayer that you be richly blessed. And now the word.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Do we all have our Bibles? Do we? If you have your Bible, let me see you wave it and let the devil be mad. Whether it's electronics, I love your home, Brother David. That's a real deal. Wave it again and everybody, wave it and let everybody see it. Amen. That's a real deal. Amen. You know, sometimes the devil is not scared of this world. But when you show him that one, he's scared. Amen. Hallelujah. Have it in you. The victory is in having the word in you. All right, so this month of June, we're going to be focusing on a theme. We called it, it's harvest time. Everybody say, it's harvest time. Say it again. Say, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. And basically, the theme is about harvesting the things, the blessing of God that He has made available to us in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, as a church, we like to have a balanced diet throughout the year. So, if you've been following from the beginning of the year, we focus on various things and we return back to those things again. Or if you've been in this church for some time, you know that we go in cycles and we'll come back, you know, to repeat certain key truths. Not many of them, but certain key truths. And one of the truths that we always want to take time to repeat every year is this truth about the realities of our redemption in Christ. Everybody say the realities of my redemption in Christ. That's not the only thing we preach. We talk about, you know, different things. We talk about different issues. But we cycle back and forth through this basic truth of living the best life that God has for us. So this month, we're going to be focusing on that, both in our Sunday services and in our Wednesday services and in all the other meetings that we will be having. Amen. That's going to be our focus. Everybody say the realities of our redemption in Christ. Say it's harvest time. You all know what harvest is, whether you've been on a farm or not. How many of you know what harvest is? Do you know what it is? Okay. You know that harvest time is a time of rejoicing. Isn't that true? The time of rejoicing. Harvest time is a time of retrieval. Retrieval. When it's harvest time, you take what belongs to you. It's ripe. You take it. Amen. And then you use it for your life, for your family. If you're a farmer, when it's harvest time, that's when you get your crops. Wow, you've been working all day, all year long, all season long. And then you take your harvest, and then your family starts to rejoice. You sell what you need to sell. You use what you need to use. So harvest time is a time of retrieval. Harvest time is a time of rejoicing. Number three, harvest time is a time of rewards. Harvest time is a time of rewards. Harvest time is, you've worked so hard, you've waited, you've watered, you've done all that. But then when it's harvest time, you start to see the reward of your labor. You start seeing the reward of your labor. So let's repeat those three things, everybody. Number one, harvest time is what? It's a time of rejoicing. Number two, it's a time of what? Retrieval. And number three, it's a time of reward. So I declare over you this month of June that this month is a time of rejoicing for you. It's a time of retrieval for you. And it's a time of rewards for you. In the name of Jesus. I expect you to say a better amen to receive that. I said this month of June is a time of rewards for you. Amen. It's a time of retrieval for you.
Amen.
And it's a time of rejoicing for you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So take that. Take that. Let that be the spirit with which you carry out everything you're going to do this month. Say to yourself, I am expecting to retrieve this month. I'm expecting rewards this month. And so I will rejoice all throughout this month of June. Amen. I'm receiving all that God has for me. As we begin to discover those things in God's word, as we begin to study them, just take it and apply them in your life. Stand on those words that were spoken. Keep the prophecy all over you. I mean, constantly on your mind. And you will see harvest in every area of your life of God's blessing. Amen. All right, so let's go to 1 John 4:16. That was the verse I began to talk about last week. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And I'm going to be reading this verse all through this month. I want it to be a part of you. There are two of them that I'm going to be reading all through this month. Because I want you to read it too on your own and meditate on this verse until it's a part of you. 1 John 4:16 says, "And so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in the love that he has for him lives in God and God in them." We know and rely on the love God has for us. And like I asked you last week, what are you relying on? Are you relying on your works? Are you relying on your smartness? Or are you relying on your dedication to God? Are you relying on your seeds, like we say it? Are you relying on your service in church? Are you relying on your righteousness or your holiness? Are you relying on your ability to read the Bible a lot? Are you relying on your prayers? Are you relying on yourself? Now, if you are relying on any of those things that I mentioned, you are relying on the wrong things. And you will always be disappointed when you rely on yourself or rely on anything that originates from you. You will always be disappointed when you rely on anything that originates from you. Everybody, can you repeat that after me? Say, I will always be disappointed whenever I rely on anything that originates from me. Hallelujah. God does not want us to rely on ourselves. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5. Proverbs 3 from verse 5. Very popular verse of scripture. Trust in yourself with all your might. No, check your Bibles very well. Isn't that what you see there? Trust in your prayers with all your might. Trust in your righteousness with all your might. Trust in your Bible readings with all your might. Trust in your smartness with all your might. Trust in your service with all your might. Trust in your friends. And then trust in your pastors. Amen. With all your might. Isn't that what's there? Is that not it? What kind of translation do you guys have? Are you sure you have the right translation of the Bible? Amen. Glory to God. Trust in the Lord. Everybody say, trust in the Lord. With all your heart. Trust in the Lord. The word trust means rely. to rely, to abandon yourself. If I say I trust you, means that I'll let you take me on the ride. Do you get it? That means I trust you. In other words, I rely, I relax. If I trust you when I'm in your presence, I'm not scared. Isn't that true? I'm not afraid. I'm not looking around and say, let's see. If I trust you, when you come into my house or come into my presence, I don't send somebody to first of all frisk you. You know what I'm talking about? Say, check. Does he have something? When I trust you, I can leave you in my house. I can leave you in my car. I can just do whatever you want to do. Right? Isn't that true? So when you trust, it means you can abandon. Isn't that true? Trust is manifested in abandonment. Trust is manifested in reliance. When you trust someone, you can lean on the person. You can lean on the person. You know that when you lean on him, this person is not going to play a trick on you and let you fall down or do something and let you fall down. You can trust, you can rely. That's what trust is about. And the Bible tells us to trust in the Lord. To trust in him. To rely on him. To abandon ourselves to him. You know, many people say, I'm holding on to God. See, again. See, can you see that? When you are holding on to something, who is doing the holding? Is it that true? And if your hand gets tired, what's going to happen to you? I'm trying to change your paradigm, amen? When you're, I'm holding on to God. And you see them, all the muscles on their faces are showing. I am walking by faith. I am holding on to God. There was this story that was told about, true story. This is a true story, so it's not, you know, this man, they were trying to, they were testing these balloons, hot air balloons, right? Trying to test it. And then suddenly, at the wrong time, one of the balloons just started going up. And there was a man, there were several people, they were doing it, they were trying to do the test. They were all holding on to ropes and to part of the balloon, some ropes there. So the thing took them up. This happened. Took them up, and the people were some people were falling down and dying. Part of them. But there was a particular man for a long time. Everybody, before the rescue, everybody saw this man, and everybody was just waiting that this guy was going to be the last one to fall and die. But then it continued until they rescued them. This man did not fall. So when they landed, they asked him, they said, what? Why? Everybody fell off there, or fell off and died. How come you did not fall off? How were you able to hold on for so long? He said, because I wasn't holding to the balloon. It was holding on to me. He said, I just wrapped the rope around myself. Tied it. I tied it. And I said, wherever this balloon lands, wherever it goes, that's where I'm going. The other people were trying to hold it. And they died. But the one that was smart, that allowed the balloon to hold what? Him, was the one that survived. Stop holding on to God. Amen. Let him hold on to you. Did you get that? Tell him, let him hold on to you. Trust means you are relying on God. That's what it means. You are the one relaxing, and he's the one who is holding you. That's why I love that verse. I think it's in Deuteronomy chapter 32 or so. It says, underneath you are God's everlasting arms. Wow, that's powerful. Underneath are what? Is everlasting arms. That it's arms. They don't get tired. They do not get tired. They are everlasting. everlasting arms to carry you. To carry you underneath our what is everlasting arms. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise. Say, God's everlasting arms. If you can find it for me, that would be great. He said, God's ever, say after me, say, God's everlasting arms are underneath me to carry me to my destination. My own part is to learn to rely on His love, His care, and His power that is working for me and working in me. Amen. Oh, wow. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own. Can you see? That's the other direction you can go. And lean on not on your own understanding. On your own understanding. Oh, yeah, I got to figure it out by myself. Man, how many times have you tried to figure this thing out? How many times? So, I mean, sometimes you got to know it's enough. Amen. And stop, take the pen or whatever you use for calculating, just throw it to one side. I say, God, I'm going to trust in you. Amen. Just relax. You try to figure it out. Many of us have things we're trying to figure out right now. We're trying to figure out, oh, so God, what am I going to do right now, you know, for the rest of the year? Lord, what am I going to, you know, when am I going to, you know, do this? Oh, God, when is this going to happen? It's taking so long. God, when? When is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? Amen. How is it going to happen? And then we sit down and think and think and think. We, in the night, you find you can't sleep. You are rolling from one side of the bed to the other side of the bed. You got to figure it out. I mean, you know, God, you're trying to figure it out. Listen, that's not the way it works. When you do that, you are not relying on God. You are relying on yourself. You are relying on your finite understanding and your incomplete wisdom. You are relying on your own knowledge. God says, don't rely on your knowledge. Don't rely on your understanding. Rely on my wisdom. Rely on my understanding. Hallelujah. Rely on my understanding. The next verse says, in all your ways, not in just a few of them, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Or He will make your path straight. He will make them straight. He will direct your path. Everybody say, God will direct my path. That's a direct promise from God about direction. Amen. He will direct what? Your path. He will show you what to. He will show you the steps to take. He will make your path straight. But you got to rely on Him. I don't know about you. I believe in the God who directs. Amen. Somebody say, I believe in God who directs. I believe in a God that gives divine signals. I believe in a God who tells me what to do. I believe in a God who can speak and who speaks to me and tells me what to do every day. He tells me what to do. That's the God I believe in. So if I have a God who knows everything, why should I rely on myself? Amen. Hallelujah. Why should I rely on myself? If I have the GPS, if it knows, I mean, it's supposed to be accurate. Even the GPS is not always accurate, man. But let's assume that it's all accurate. Then I don't need to depend any longer on just my knowledge. If I get to a place where I seem confused, I don't know what to do. That's what we do. What do? I point in where I'm going, right? And I point in where I am. Those are the two things we need to know. Isn't that true? Where I am, God, this here it is, and this is what you promised me. Isn't that true? And then if you focus on where you're going, what is He going to do? The same God will lead you to where you are going. Amen. Did you get it? Then all you need to be doing is just listen to instruction. Isn't that true? Is that not how you do it with your car? You punch where you are going there, right? And then you start here, turn left and turn right. Yeah, God also wants to do the same thing for you if you will rely on Him. Amen. All right. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, because we're not done with it. We know. Someone say, we know. And we rely. We have come to know, and we have come to rely on the love that God has for us. 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and to rely on the love that God has for us. I want you to write this thing down. Good things happen to those who know God loves them. Write it down. Good things happen to those who know that God loves them. Notice I didn't say good things happen to those who love God. Or who think they love God. Or who are trying to love God. Good things happen. It's not bad to love God. Amen. We should love God. Isn't that true? But the Bible says, as you will see in the next verse, we love Him because He first. You are able to love God because you have already received His love. Loved people can love. Amen. Write it down. Good things happen. Good things happen to those who know God loves them. Try it this week. You just try it this week or this month. Try it. Start meditating on God's love for you. Wake up in the morning and say, God, I thank you because you love me. Amen. Like I was telling you last week, be like John, the beloved. In fact, they put his name, the beloved. I mean, John was the beloved. Amen. In fact, I think I'm going to change my name, you know. So, Lan, the beloved. When you see me on Facebook, Lan, the beloved. Amen. Maybe I'll get a t-shirt too. Lan, the beloved. So, you know, when you have a label like that, the beloved, the guy knew he was loved. And in his gospel, 5 times, he repeated it. And there were several disciples with Jesus. Peter, James, the other ones, and the disciple that God loves. The disciple that what? And the disciple that God loved, that Jesus loved, was resting on the bosom of Jesus. And Peter asked a question. He asked the disciple that God loved. And the disciple that God loved turned to Jesus and said, Peter is asking you a question. The guy felt so special. You know, at first when you read that, you say, oh, God, why are you partial? How come this guy of all the disciples is the one that you loved? Until God began to show, God taught me that it wasn't because he didn't love the other ones. It was because that was the disciple that was aware of the love that God had for him, out of all of them. All the other ones were depending on themselves. Peter, I will never deny you, Lord. I promise, I will die for you. I will give you everything. You are washing everybody's feet. Don't wash my feet. You know. God said, let me love you. He said, don't love me. I want to love you. I should be the one washing your feet. You know. Let me love. No. Peter did not have a revelation of God's love for him. But eventually he did. After he fell 3 times. Amen. And then God came and restored him. The man began to understand that love. Hallelujah. Now, you don't want to fall before you start understanding His love for you. You want to understand it now. You want to know it now. And the way to know it is to interact with that truth. Everybody say after me, say, no matter what happens to me. Say, it doesn't matter what is going on. And I know good things are happening. Because I am loved. Say, I'm too loved to be broke. I'm too loved to fail. I'm too loved to be sad. I'm too loved to be disappointed. I'm too loved not to get to my destination. This love is too much. Say after me, say, this love is too much. It is too much. It is too much. I'm a loved guy. Oh yes, I like that. I'm a loved guy. I don't hear anybody talking on this side. You see, these people know that God loves them. The one on this side, they are trying to love God. Say, I'm loved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those who know God loves them, they relax. Amen. They're not trying to figure everything out. They just enjoy the day. Amen. They're not lazy, but they just rely on God. And let God figure the way and show them what to do. I love this God. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says, his love does not disappoint. His love does not disappoint because perfect love this hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We have a love that does not disappoint. Do you all get that? So what we want to do this month is we want to delve into that love and find out what it has provided for us. And then, as you begin to discover, wow, this is what love has done for me. This is what love has already done for me. This is what love has done for me. You'll be empowered, amen, to take hold of it. You'll begin to harvest his love for you. Grace is what love has provided for you. Did you get that? That is what grace is. Grace is what love has already provided for you. Grace is what love has provided for you. Whenever you see the word grace, the word grace is from the Greek word charis, and it means gift of love. Some people say it means unmerited favor. Amen. It means God working on your behalf at his own expense. And I love the way someone said it. He said grace is an acronym, which means God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen. Somebody say God's riches at Christ's expense. Do you know what that means? If you have something at somebody else's expense, you know what that means? Amen. That's awesome. I love such things. Amen. I love such things. I love to have things that I don't pay for. Amen. How many of you like free stuff? Don't you? I love free stuff. Big time. Amen. I won't say no. I'll say yes. I practice grace. Amen. You know, my wife and I were going for our wedding anniversary, you know, some weeks ago. And somebody told us, they said, you know what? I want to pay for your hotel. I said, yes. Amen. Awesome. And then we got to the car place where we want to rent. And the person said, I want to pay for your rental car. Come on. Which kind of car do you want? I want this one. Amen. I want a good SUV. Amen. Hallelujah. So we went for the wedding anniversary at what? The expense of the person. And we enjoyed it. Amen. And we came fresh. We had fun. That's grace. Someone said that's grace. Not that we didn't have the money for it. We had the money for it. We had planned. We had prepared. We had saved for it. But the money was used for something else. Someone said that's grace. Someone said grace. If it was somebody else, no, you want to pay for my, you know? Don't pay for my. One of the things that stop people from enjoying the grace of God is pride. It's pride. Say, no. Yeah. Don't do it. I'll do it. When you do it. No, enjoy. It's, you know what? Jesus is... Oh, man. Write this down. Very important statement. We're going to need it throughout this month as we study. Be a good receiver. Yeah. Write down. Say, be a good what? Receiver. Some people are good givers. But they are not good receivers. No, let me say it this way. You cannot be a good giver. That's the truth, really. You cannot be a good giver and not be a good receiver. You know the reason why I can receive anything anybody wants to spend on me? Because I do it for people. Do you get it? I have paid for people's hotel, amen, to go for their wedding anniversary before. I paid for people's flight before. We pay for people's car expenses before. So if somebody wants to do it for me, I can receive it. Amen. Amen. I don't have any problem receiving it because I don't have any problem giving it. Amen. Did you get that? Jesus was a good receiver as well as a good giver. Peter was not a good receiver. Many of these, they were not good receivers then. There was a day a woman came and Jesus was sitting down. And the woman came and poured some things at the feet of Jesus and began to rub, you know, his leg, with her hair. And do all that and everything. And everybody there was hungry. Oh, I can't look at this woman. She's wasting all this. They said the perfume that she poured out was equivalent of one of a year's wage, a year's salary for the average man. Amen. There, and she poured it right at the feet of Jesus. And they said, "What? To what purpose is this waste? To what purpose is this waste?" Judah said, "Shouldn't this money have been given to the poor rather than this waste?" You see, people that talk that way, they don't give to the poor. It's a lie. They don't. It's just a lie. People that complain, they're always complaining. Whenever they see somebody blessed, the person must be stealing. Whenever they see anybody that is blessed, the person must not be giving to the poor. It's a lie. Amen. They are the ones that have a problem. They have a problem. They have a problem. So Jesus said, "Shut up." He said, I've been around you since. I've been in your house since. You did not offer me anything. You did not pour anything down. You didn't do nothing. You did not anoint my feet. And this woman did it. And he said, "This woman will be remembered everywhere for what she has done." He said, "For the poor you always have with you, but me you do not always have." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He was a good receiver. When people gave him boat, he took it. Amen. Amen. And he preached through the boat. When he needed to ride into Jerusalem, he said, "Go and get me a colt that has never been brand new." Amen. That nobody has ever sat upon. And he rode into Jerusalem. He was a good receiver. Stop being, there's this thing that is, we call it humility. It's not humility. It's, you're just trying. It's false humility. Inside your heart, you are praying, "Give it to me." And outside, you are saying, "No, you know, I don't want it." "No, I don't want it. Let me give you an instruction. Whenever somebody genuinely offers you anything as a gift, to practice the grace of God, receive it with joy. Because whenever you stop somebody from giving to you, you also stop the person from harvesting his gift. Because you do not allow the person to sow." Did you get what I'm saying? Learn to receive it. Learn to receive. When you start practicing it with people, you can practice it with God too. Amen. Hallelujah. And stop criticizing those who are blessed. Amen. Amen. Stop calculating. "Oh yeah, he stole this one. Oh, he did that one." Shut your mouth. Amen. Just leave the person. Glory to God. Just leave the person and walk with God. Yes. Grace. You see, when you go through the New Testament, you will discover that. Have you ever noticed that the people that were blessed the most in the New Testament, they were not people who were trained in the law? Just go and study the miracles of Jesus. This, what do you call it? The Syrophoenician woman. She had no training in law. The man that said, "Just speak the word only," had no training in law. They always received their miracles fast. But when it came to the Pharisees and all the other ones, it's hard for them to receive. Many believers are like Pharisees. And sad you see. Amen. When you see them, you see sadness. They don't know how to receive. Jesus was always pleased with those who could depend on love. And you saw things happening in their lives. Why? Because God hates law. But he loves grace. The law came by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came. And Paul tells us the reason for the law. The reason for the law is to make men desperate for grace. The reason for the law is to give man an impossible standard until he cries out to God and says, "God, I need your help." Like I told you last week, the reason for the law is like God telling us to jump into Lake Michigan and from Chicago and swim to Michigan, knowing that nobody can make it. Even Amara cannot make it. I mean, you know, she does all those kind of things. You can't make it. You are going to be stuck. You can train for many years. You are going to be stuck. So God said, all of you do it. People like us, the disciples that God loves, who don't know how to swim,
we just stay at the bank. I say, God, until you carry me from this place, I'm going to get into this water. Like my wife. My wife, whenever they tell my wife, let's go on a cruise, she said, I'm not going on a cruise until I know how to swim. I'm just... You know, we went, you know, and I pulled my wife's legs a little bit. We went for this, it was one of our wedding anniversary or whatever, so we went on vacation. And then, there was, you know, this swimming pool, my wife was wearing a life jacket. This water that you can walk inside. I said, baby, you're wearing a life jacket. Hallelujah. So people like us, we're not going to jump, amen, into Lake Michigan. We wait. But we let people like you guys. But we know what's going to happen. We're all going to get to the meet somewhere there. Then when everybody is tired, then God now comes with the disciple that God loves inside the boat. A big boat. And then the disciple that God loves, he gives him the, what they call, a megaphone. He says, everybody, this is the original plan. You are supposed to take the boat. And then I'll just be laughing at everybody as they're coming. I know Amara is coming. So get it. And then, you know, I've already got in the best spots in the boat. I'll ask for a drink, amen. Food, enjoy myself, and then land in Michigan and come out by God's grace. I didn't have to pay anything to ride on the boat. Amen. That was what law was supposed to show us. You can't make it, and nobody made it. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. None of them could do it. The man that came to boast to Jesus, remember the man that came to Jesus to boast with Jesus, he said, master, good master, how can I inherit the higher kind of life? Jesus said, you know the commandment? Jesus was trying to trap him. You know the commandment? He loved him. He was trying to teach him something, not just trap him. But you know, sometimes you need to trap somebody so that you can give him truth. You know the commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The man said, all this I have kept from my youth. You have kept it? Okay, good. So Jesus said, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, now, go and sell everything you have. And go and give it to the poor. Do you know what he's saying? Now prove to me. Jesus was trying to show the man that you thought you have loved God with all your heart, with all your soul, and you love your neighbor, you have kept it. He failed. Did you get that? He failed the test. Jesus was trying to show him that to get this eternal life, it is not by what you do. And you know, we have mangled that scripture. Amen. Remember the discussion they were having? Remember the discussion afterward? Remember the discussion in Mark chapter 10? After the man had gone, and they said the man left because he had a lot of possession. If you love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, will you not give him all your possession? So the man failed, which Jesus expected him to fail because nobody could do it. So the disciples, so Jesus said, he said, you know what? It's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Peter and the other disciple were scratching their head. What do you mean? The rich man. He said, we have left all and we have followed you, Peter. We have left all and we have followed you. Jesus said, you know what? With men, this is impossible. Did you get that? But with God. Everybody say, with God. All things are what? In other words, it's God. Come on, say God. Not what man can do that gets you into the kingdom. He said, it's easier. It's harder for a rich man, somebody who is depending, you know, a rich man usually is depending on what? Everything he has. He's depending on what he has done. He's depending on his works. He's depending on everything he has. He said it is harder for that one to enter into this new system, this new country that I'm talking about, than for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle. What he was saying is that when you come to God,
You have to offload all your pride. Do you get that? You have to let go of all your works. And you have to depend on only one thing. How only God that can raise you. If I were that guy and I had this revelation, when Jesus said, go and throw everything away. I said, all right, tomorrow I'm going to throw it away and I'm coming to your house. Do you get that? I'm coming to live with you and I will not leave you. Everywhere you go, I'm going to what? Follow you there. My food, you are now responsible. Because you are the one that gave me what? The instruction. Everything, you are now responsible for it. Did you get that? I tell you, that man, I mean, he's good to be. He's good. The man that can part waters, that's a good man to be responsible for you, to hold you. Master, you gave me that instruction, I did it. Yeah, I am. That's what Peter and the others were saying. He said, anybody that has done that shall receive a hundredfold now in this life and in the world to come eternal life. Do you get it? He was calling us to depend on grace, not on our works, not on what we can do. I'm begging you in the month of June to relax. Let me tell your neighbor, say it's time to relax. Say relax in God's blessing. Relax in God's grace. Tell your neighbor, sleep well. Please don't say sleep well. Stop rolling around on your bed, trying to do what only God can do. Tell him, stop all those, you know, plans that are motivated by fear. Stop it. Your father knows what you have need of. Amen. He knows the kind of lady that you need for your life. He knows the kind of man you need for your life. Amen. He knows the kind of husband and a wife. He knows the kind of children that you need. He knows the kind of job that you need. He knows what fits your purpose. Relax and let the master architect take care of you. Let him take care of you. I don't know about you. I want to receive the gift of God's grace. Anything that God cannot do, I don't want it. Hallelujah. Anything that flesh produces is corrupted. But whatever God does, it shall be forever. Hallelujah. So I made up my mind in the month of June and throughout my life, I'm not going to struggle. Everybody say that after me. Say, I'm not going to struggle. Say it again. Say, I'm not going to struggle. Say, I'm not going to be concerned. I'm not going to be worried. I'm just going to enjoy God's love. Amen. I'll let love carry me. Tell anybody, I'll let love carry me. And love will carry me through. That's how I want to live. So how will you, let me round up with this. So how do you live in love? Remember I said, whosoever lives in this love, lives in God. For God is love. How do you live in this love? Very simple. Very simple. And that's what God wants you to do. Very simple. When you have, you have a love letter from God. Everybody, hold your Bibles. Hold your Bibles up. Say, I have a love letter from God. I have a love letter from God. In this love letter, there are expressions of what love has done. What love will do. What love has created. In Genesis, love tells us he created everything. Hallelujah. And it tells us how man fell short of his glory and lost everything because they chose to listen to the hack enemy of love. And it tells us how the whole world became corrupted because we stepped out of love. Remember, Adam and Eve stopped relying on God. And they started relying. The devil came to tell them, he said, when you take this fruit, you will also be like God. Right? You know what? You become independent. Amen. And so, independence was the bane of humanity. We wanted to just be ourselves, not knowing that he had already made them like him. The devil deceived them. And so we lost everything because of it. And everything got messed up. But love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says love never fails. It never gives up. Never comes to an end. So love says, you know what? I love these guys. I'm going to reach out to them. I planned it. And so what did he do? In John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his one and only son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have this higher kind of life. Zoe, that's what the word eternal life means. Zoe, the higher kind of life. That's where you get zoology and all that. The higher kind of life, the God kind of life, the new kind of living. And the new kind of living is going to come by believing. Believing is relying. Amen. Did you get that? It's depending. So God, love did that. Love loved us. Amen. And love loves us. And when Jesus died, he did not just die. He died to restore us back to everything that we lost because of our independence of him in the Garden of Eden. So in other words, if the Garden of Eden was paradise, Jesus came back to show us the road to paradise. And what was the road to paradise? He said, I am the way. Someone said, I am the way. He said, I am the road, the truth, and the Zoe, the life. Whosoever believes in me will not perish, but have eternal life. No one comes to God except by me. So Jesus is the way to this higher kind of life. Jesus is the way, not you. Jesus is the way, not your struggles. Jesus is the way, not your intelligence. Jesus. Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Say Jesus. It is relying on him. That's how you walk in this higher kind of life that God is talking about. So friends, how many of you are ready to walk in God's love here? Are you ready to rely on him? Are you ready? That love can purge you. That love already made you his righteousness. And it can make you walk in holiness. Don't struggle to try and stop sin. Amen. See, nobody has ever stopped sin in his life by struggling. Anybody that has ever overcome any kind of sin came to the realization that God loves me. God loved me. And God in his love has made a provision for me. And in getting lost in God's love, they just found out some things are not worthy anymore. That's the solution. Don't struggle. Don't struggle. God loves you. God loves you. And then spend this month, as we begin to go through it from next Sunday, we're going to start looking at those benefits of redemption, the benefit of love, and Wednesday. As you start going through those things, when you see it, just say, thank you, love. Everybody say, thank you, love. Learn to say that. Thank you, love. Or say it in your own way. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you, darling. Thank you. I receive that. I take it. I take it. Amen. Somebody say, I take it. Take it. Take it. Free ticket. Or your birthday. I take it. Amen. When you see it, take it. Even if it sounds too good to be true, take it. Amen. The gospel is too good to be true. That's what gospel means. Too good to be true news. It's good news. The gospel is not to knock people down. It's the power of God unto soteria, salvation, freedom and rescue. Take it. You'll be amazed. As I begin to show you some things that belongs to you this month, you will know that you've been sitting down for a long time thinking God hated you, not knowing that the devil was the one deceiving you. You are so loved that you will succeed. I'm telling you, you are too loved that you can't fail. I'm telling you that everything in your life will work out. I'm saying it because of his love. There's no sickness that is in your body right now that will not disappear this month as you begin to learn of his love. I'm too loved to be sick. Amen. How can healing love me and I'm sick? How can health love me and I'm sick? How can Jehovah Rapha love me and I'm sick? How can the provider love me and I don't have? How? How is it possible? When we start to see these things from the word, you will rise up with wings like eagles. You will run and you will not be weary. And you will walk and you will not fail. Is somebody excited about this month? Are you excited about this month? Let's rise up on our feet. Let's take some communion. Let's celebrate this love together.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.